The message title, What Have I Done? What Have I Done? When I think of this particular scripture, and I want to read it to you from Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, verse 6, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Now, when you think of that question, you could say it in different tones of voice, and it would take on different meanings. You could casually say, What have I done? Or you could say, with that old nonchalance and that old attitude of, you know, resentment, What have I done? Or you could just say inquiringly, Well, what have I done? See, there's a lot of ways you say it. Now, the way the prophet said it here in the Spirit of God that was giving him the message from the Lord, he said, No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Nonchalance. What's wrong with me? Well, what have I done? You ever hear that? You hear it from about everybody. You corner somebody, and they'll look at you immediately. They will say, Well, what have I done? You get hold of your youngin' and grab him up and start whipping on him, or grabbing the belt or the stick and threatening him. Mama, what have I done? A Christian's just like a child. I tell you, you can't corner one with first thing they say, What have I done? That's the answer Christians give to God, and God hates it. He said, back to Jeremiah 8 and verse 6, I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented of him of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. And God uses a horse here to depict a very foolish Christian. See, a horse has no fear of a gun. He don't fear a cannon. He don't fear danger. You take a horse of the cavalry, of an army, with a soldier aboard him, armed with spear or gun, that horse will rush right out before the guns blazing away, even a cannon firing at him. That horse has no fear. He rushes into the battle like a fool. And that's what the Lord's talking about, that every one of these that have sinned and wouldn't repent among God's people, he rushes like a horse into the battle without any sense or consciousness of fear whatsoever, saying, Well, what have I done? But God goes on and reprimands his people. He says, Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the times of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, God is not speaking here of his judgment of outpouring of wrath, like a storm or a pestilence or a famine or earthquake that the Bible speaks of as being God's four sore judgments. He's talking here of the manner in which God judges sin in the life of one of his servants. My people don't even know how God judges them for the sins in their life. He don't even know the judgments of the Lord. And the terrible part of it is the stork and the turtle and the crane and the swallow, they observe the times of their coming. They're sensitive to the times when it's time to mate, when it's time to give birth, when reproduction is working in the spring of the year, in the fall of the year, like all nature is obedient to God. When springtime or fall arises and winter time comes on, you don't see nature rebelling against God. You don't see the stork, the crane, the swallow, the fowls and the beasts and the fishes rebelling against God. They know the times of their coming, but God's people don't know how he judges them for sin. And he continues. He said, How do you say we're wise and the law of the Lord is with us? Lo, certainly in vain he made it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They're dismayed and taken. Lo, they've rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them. Verse 12.
for their shame when they had committed abomination. Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall in the time of visitation. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree. And the leaves shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them, God says. When my judgment, the way that I will judge my people, this is the manner that I will perform my judgments upon them, to turn them back to my holiness and to the word of God. What have I done? The church today sits in the pews in air-conditioned auditoriums with everything pleasing being done that can be done for their tranquility. And whenever the voice of the prophet that's challenging their idolatry, their worldliness, their lust, their gluttony, their selfishness, all of these things that I've been mentioning here in the service this morning, their sloth, all forms of lust and selfishness, when you begin to challenge them and begin to preach the word of God to them and disturb them out of their tranquility, the first thing they do is look around and with a smug little look says, well, what have I done? Don't you just love to hear that? I don't love to hear it. God doesn't love to hear it. The Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah, not only the sins of God's people and the challenge of God's prophet to his people, but he relates the very causes of these sordid conditions that had come among God's people that brought them to the very verge in which God says, I will reject my people because they turn not to me away from these things that are idolatrous. See, the church today is settled down on its lees and its drags because the preacher's telling them, just confess your sins. They've only got one scripture in the Bible for it. And that's 1 John 1:9. See, you can't take the Bible and take one scripture from it and make you a doctrine, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to take it line upon line, precept upon precept, hear a little and do a little, and rightly divide it. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, the very gist of this statement or this promise or premise of God in directing a sinning or erring Christian to returning to divine favor, God injects a very fact here that if you really confess your sin, then the Lord will cleanse you from your sin and turn you away from your unrighteousness. See, in confessing, it also means forsaking, because all the other scriptures in the Bible uses the word repent, turn, and forsake. God, all through the Old Testament, when he's talking about his controversy with nations, with a church, and with an individual, he always uses the word, turn yourselves. Turn from your transgressions and live. Lord, have mercy. Just confessing is not enough. The church today, the Christians, acknowledge their sins, but they're not repenting and returning to God's divine favor through old-fashioned repentance. Confessing is the first step, but the second step is more vital than that, is that you turn away and give up your sins. You don't go on and live in the same old mess that you have been into and perverting God's way with your lack of holiness of thought, with lust of the flesh, for these old things of gluttony and selfishness and pride and other forms of idolatry. In Jeremiah 3:13, God cries out through the prophet and says, only acknowledge thine iniquity, that thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God. See, this old church had always said to the prophet, well, what have I done? What have I done? God said, acknowledge your iniquity, that you transgressed against me. You scattered your ways to the strangers under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. That's what's wrong with the church today. That's what's wrong with it, was wrong with the church of old, that God had to give up on the church and deliver them into the hands of their oppressors. Verse 14 of Jeremiah